Succession number 27057, Reel 5.
This is the third reel of a taped interview with Bill Osborne in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 21st of the 4th, 2004, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Bill, we've spoken about some of your experiences in Greece. On your arrival in Greece, and as you went up, what was the morale like?
Fantastic, really and truly. Well, to tell you the truth, my quad, which that's what I was driving, had the gun crew sat on across the quad in the back, and then the back behind them was all the partitions for our equipment, our personal equipment. So what we did before we left Athens, we were in Athens. Before we left Athens, we sort of emptied all of our, or most of our gear, personal gear and all that stuff, on the floor of the quad, and stacked it full of. Oh dear.
That's right.
Grog, special. Grog, and I've never been able to drink it since.
Something like arak or
no
sambuca or something.
No, it was a wine.
Yeah.
I might think of it
later. Yeah. And what were things like? What was the food like? What were the rations like? What were you eating?
Normal everyday rations with that you would get back in Alexandria. Well, we got pretty good food all the way up that I can remember. I can't remember. But I'm a bit of a silly bugger, I think, because I think the only thing that I almost eat is tripe. That's the only thing that I won't eat. And so it didn't matter what we got and what was handed out, and we just had normal rations all the way up.
The bully beef and...
Oh, all that sort of thing, yes. herrings and tomato sauce, bloody things. When we got to VV Pass, I got the gun into position, dropped it off, and then they finish up, they put it really into position because they had to put the traverse wheel at the 25 pounds a gun sat on. And that was a big wheel with sort of spikes on it, and that went into the ground, and the 25 pound went on it. The tires were just, they fitted on the rim, and the...
You could then turn it any direction.
But in any direction. And, of course, the everything was with the gun to make it stationary, which every time you fired it, it sort of bounced. It was pretty well going back. It really went back. And you've got the trail had a big shovel-like thing on the end of it, and that dug into the earth every time they fired. And then I had when we put the gun into position, I had to go back to the wagon line.
What did that mean, being back in the wagon line?
You're behind the guns, back, and so that you're ready. You're ready to be called, yet you're out of the. If they were going to shoot at anything with their gun, with their artillery, and we were the guns were what they went for, and they didn't go for anything else. I think we had one shell come over, and I think that was a misdirected one. But and that was all. And they dug slip trenches around the gun. And I didn't worry about anything. I slept in the first night there. I slept in my van, my wagon, if I call it all that, and all it was this tin box. And I woke up in the morning and I was frozen stiff. Opened the door and looked out. It'd been snowing all night. And it was cold.
Is that the first time you'd seen snow?
No, we'd seen snow on the way up, roughly, a little bit. But not as much as you thought you would see. But that would have been the first time any of us had this. Oh, not any of us. Some of them probably travelled to the east. And, of course, those from the eastern states, they'd see snow on Kosciuszko and places like that. That was for that, and then of course they started firing.
You were mentioning some of the experiences you had in relation to the initial experience of German fire. What was it like?
We didn't get that very much. I didn't get it at all. I don't think it anywhere, didn't come anywhere near me, and I don't think the guns until till just before we went off, and they started to fire then, and then we pulled the guns out, and I know I had to go back towards the Jerry, because I had to get out, go back and turn around and go down. And actually, Rex and I shouldn't be here, nor Holgun shouldn't be here. We saw a shell drop, and it never exploded. Rex and I actually saw the shell plop into the ground. And that was just after we turned around and we were going down because I drove up and there was a commanding officer for the battery, Ian Bessel Brown. He was marching down there with his stick, just Brown, and I opened the window and said, I said, what a lift, sir. No, he said, no, keep going. And that was him, he just walking around with his walking stick and all.
What sort of image did that create for the average soldier?
Well, for me, I mean, I don't know what the average soldier would have thought.
But what seeing a commanding officer so nonchalantly walking about with a walking stick, how did that make you feel?
Well, it made you feel. Well, if he can do that, what's wrong with it? And he would, and that's what he said. No, Osmond, keep going, and that was it. And he...
What was it like to know that you were going to actually have to retreat?
A bit rough. We thought, you know, that's not right, because there wasn't much terrifying that I saw around us. And we sort of, why the hell are we going? And then later on when we stopped and went into action again, finally we all got together, and all the drivers anyway, because we didn't go very far for the wagon line on the way down. And the thing was, I don't know, it was as though it was, look, I think it was as though it was a picnic more than that, because we hadn't, as I say, we had a little bit of fire when we went out of the position. And there was, you know, we just couldn't, you just couldn't wonder why aren't we getting hell knocked out of us and things like that. And we all, I know in one place we went to, I had to, I try and put my muffler back on because I'd lost the bolts and everything out of it, and I put it back on, wired it back on to the best of my ability, and the wire that I could find. And I was in, we're in a little dip in the alongside the road, and when I went to go out, Lieutenant Faulkner was, he was adamant that we have to take all the ammunition that there was there. And I said, oh, I can't take any. He said, I don't care. I would put it on the floor of your vehicle. You've got to take the whole lot. And I said, I said, we'll take the whole lot. I said, but we can't get the, you've got to keep the troop, the don, all of the troop there, because I'll want to push when we go out. And so I was screaming, it was in low, and of course it was absolutely full bore, and it just blew the muffler off again. But we were going, it was a place, I can't remember where it was, I don't know the name of it, that Jerry was dropping the shells on the crossroads, sort of, as it was there. But
what was it like to be retreating under fire?
Well, put it this way, and I want to say under fire, we weren't really under fire. The only thing was that he was dropping the shells occasionally on these crossroads.
But you mentioned seeing a shell drop, and you and Rex wouldn't be here.
No, and well, that's what I said when we come out of BB's Pass.
But what was it like to be under fire in those situations for the first time?
Well, I didn't think much of it, right, to tell you the truth. We had a few shells drop, and this one really dropped right about out slightly to the front of us, and might have been about 15 feet, it might have been 20 feet, I don't know.
Had you experienced Stuka at all? Were you to experience Stuka?
Stuka, are we? Yeah, when we were coming out of Greece. Oh, that's right. We experienced them on the way down. I remember one place we went into, and as we were, the Stukas, as they came down, were coming right on the nose all the way down, and got screamers on them and all that sort of thing. And as they level out, as they drop their drum, and I was up the side of a hill, I dig them in slit trench, and this plane came past, we going up the valley, and the pilot just waved to me and to all of the rest of the bloke, just waved to us. And what had happened there is the one of the machine gunners had opened fire on the spotter plane.
Let the jury know of your position.
Where we were. Yeah. And so we.
What was it like when Stuka came in? Describe that to us.
You could see them. When they came over, you could see them forming up, and then they'd start 1, 2, 3, and down they'd come, and you could sort of see, well, they're going to come near me, or they're going to, no, it's in, and they didn't very much worry much about the wagon line, which I think would have been the best thing to do.
The noises that they made, they had sirens.
Screamers on the plane, and screamers on the bombs. You could hear the bomb coming down because they put screamers on them. But
how did that affect the troops on the ground?
Be honest, I've no idea, because, all right, I'm not a hero, but it was a, and you sort of looked up to see where the, you reckon if you can see the propeller down round and that, he might be coming close to you, he might not be coming close to you, that's all. I did break once, but that was when we were on Crete.
All right, we'll talk about that. Yeah. I'm interested, as you're coming down, the level of concern with the retreat from the average man.
The level of concern. Didn't worry me, didn't affect me. And I think there's a lot of others like me. We were obeying orders, and that's what we had to do.
And in my impression, as you were coming down, it was actually quite difficult to have a good, long, straight run without being harassed by the enemy.
Yes, it wasn't until we were a little bit further down that we got the plane strafing us as we went along the road, and we had in the quad the sergeant looked up through a trap from his position, and when the planes had come he built like hell on the roof. And I'd hit the skids and everything as I possibly could. And all right for Rex, because all he did was go straight over the side. But I had to lift myself. That's the battery here and the motor there. I had to lift myself out, get onto the motor, and get out through the trap. And don't worry about falling or anything. Just dive and. And then if you were down there, you had to, while the plane, when the plane was coming, they they really were, they were coming along the roadway strafing you. You had to think close. When you got out of the vehicle, which way do I lay? When you're laying down on the end, if I lay crossways to him, he'll cut me in half, and if I lay the other way, he'll run me down, and that sort of thing. That was the thing, you see. The gun crew used to go both sides, out both sides. The sergeant used to go over, and he went to the left. And I, by the time I'd got out of up onto the engine and through the trap or escape hatch, if you like to call them.
Yep.
And then I'd hit the bloody deck, and nine times in, you lay there because the plane was on you.
What did it sound like to be literally on the road and you've got
bullets hitting the ground? Yeah, but I couldn't ever understand. I don't know why they didn't try and get the crew, because they were firing, and I never even had a bullet in mind. Others had a bullet through the screen, and others have had a bullet through the back of them, and things like that. And those, I don't know what the rate of fire is, but they're pretty heavy. But I think we all did the same. There's four guns in the troop, and we were, I forget what number we were, anyway. You sort of got out of your road as quickly as you can. And then, of course, as soon as it got dark, we didn't worry about that. But when we were traveling, this one place we had a very, very rough. The road was about as wide as our vehicle was. And about 1,000 foot bloody drop that side. And I had to have three blokes walking with cigarettes.
That's right, you were talking about keeping the truck on the road.
Yeah.
And, when was the first time you experienced someone killed in action?
The only time I think that I experienced it was when I told you about the kerosene, right? When we were getting out of VV, and the step with, he had a Marmon Harrington, that's a big Ford, and his gun crew, he'd stalled.
And he'd been hit with shrapnel.
He piece went right through his back.
What did it feel like to have one of your comrades go down in that fashion?
Well, you didn't think much about that because you were concerned about yourself. And you got to worry, and it's quite true. You're the bloke you worry about. You don't worry about anybody else. That is, you've got to do that. You can't worry about other blokes over the side, and you can't worry about any mateships you've got, and that I'm going out. Alright, I'm going over this buddy, and I'm going to stay away from them blokes because they the crew's gone on either both sides. And the sergeant's down there, and he's with half the crew. And I never worried about it. I just got out as quickly as I could, and I usually stayed where, because I managed to, when I pulled the receiver, Rex used to belt on the roof, and I hit the many skids as hard as I could, and get.
I've heard stories of people on the evacuation, on the retreat, jumping onto gun trailers, jumping onto trucks to be taken taken down. Was that something you experienced?
No, I didn't experience it at all.
How long was the trip back down?
I don't know.
As I understand, the German forces invaded Greece on the 6th of April, and the evacuation of Allied troops from Greece began on the 22nd of April. Where were you to get to before you left Greece?
Something I don't really know, because all I knew, to be honest, was that we were going backwards.
Remember the place that you were evacuated from?
No, I can't remember the name of it. It was right, to the best of my knowledge, it was right to the south of Greece. I'm not certain.
And, what were you to do when you got to that point?
Well, I would tell you that I was out in front of the infantry and everything, and my gun was there, and we would be anti-tank shoot just in case the tanks came through those two roads. And we then, about 9:30 or something like that, I think, we got the orders to get back and get down on the bridge. Actually, I can't remember.
What was the level of confusion? Was there, to what degree was there panic or chaos at that point?
To my knowledge, there was no chaos, no panic. I know this much. We dismantled our unit, say the guns and all that, as much as we could.
What did that involve? Tell us what that involved.
I told you in the thing.
Didn't get that on air. Let's just go through what you were ordered to do with your guns and the vehicles.
We were to dismantle it to the best of our ability. In other words, the gun crew were to take the breech block out, and if they could manage to do it, if they could carry it down and get it in the sea, or they just try to bury it. And I had to, as much as I could, dismantle my truck. You didn't have much time, and as I said, I drained the sump, started the motor and drained the sump, less running with no oil. When it seized, or it just started to seize, the bearings and all that, I got an axe and smashed all the plugs, and I smashed the vacuum tank, all that sort of thing, as much as I could.